serve the Lord.
The title of our message today, as we continue in this shelter in place, as we continue in trusting God in times of trouble, the title of our sermon today is Fight the Good Fight of Faith. Fight the Good Fight of Faith. And we find that here in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now let's look at verse 12, and we're going to look at verse 12 alone. It says this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Now move by your spirit as we enjoy your word. Teach us, Lord. Feed us your word. Enlighten us. Provide a specific revelation to our hearts, Lord, that we could be doers of your word and not hearers only. So we anticipate your move and your instruction. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to encourage you today with fight the good fight of faith. And this is what we're talking about today. We're talking about fighting the fight of faith. We are in day 62 of the shelter in place here in the Bay Area, and government and civic leaders are making decisions to open the country. They're also making decisions to open cities. They're making decisions to open counties, and a lot is going on right now. In fact, there's a lot of debate as to what cities should be open, what counties should be open, how they should be open, what should be open when they are open. And I've seen lots of debate on this. In fact, you and I, if you're looking at the news, you are probably seeing the very things that I'm seeing. And some of the things that I'm seeing involve protesters that are lining up at city halls and at county buildings. And what's interesting to me is I've seen protesters with like AK-47s and they have their masks on. And I'm saying, wow, this is really something, because these people are not only willing to fight for what they believe, but they're willing to die for what they believe. And they believe that in this case, that they should have the ability to have their businesses open and have their cities open. They're willing to fight. They believe in fighting. And I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage the believer. See, I want to encourage you to fight. I want to encourage the believer to fight. I want to encourage you who are born again, those of you who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. I want to encourage you to fight, but I want to encourage you to fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Those of you who believe Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again for you, I want to encourage you to fight the fight of faith. And what we discover is this fight is a spiritual fight. It really is. So I'm going to share some things about the fight that I want you to know. And the first thing that I want you to know is that we are engaged in spiritual warfare. Let me say that again. We are engaged in spiritual warfare. Even though it looks like we're seeing people and it looks like people are actually pulling the strings, in reality, the things that happen spiritually manifest physically. Let me say that again. The things that happen in the spirit manifest, or we see these things manifest, or we see these things revealed physically. Why? Because we are in spiritual warfare. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 with me, if you will. 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to be sharing some passages of scripture. You could write those down, or you can follow along with us, or you can review this sermon either on our website, on the Facebook page, or even on our YouTube page, because I want you to understand this dynamic. Look at what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Now, there's more that it says, but let me just help you understand what he's saying here. He's saying, for though we walk in the flesh, speaking of walking, I've been trying to do some walking around my neighborhood here during this shelter in place. And You know, I see people walking with their masks on, and I see people walking without their masks on, and I just see people walking their dogs. In fact, I've seen more people walking in my neighborhood than I have ever seen. And I think it's a great thing that people are taking this opportunity to get exercise, right? But see, we're walking and we see one another, and our bodies are walking. In other words, we walk in the flesh. Our bodies are doing the walking. And what the scripture is saying, although we walk in the flesh, although you and I are living human beings, we do not war according to the flesh. In other words, the battles are fought in that spirit realm and not in the flesh realm. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly. There's the Greek word that's used there, carne, meaning meat. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Hallelujah. So I'm helping you understand that even though you see conflict around you, the conflict that you see around you is based on conflict that's occurring in the heavenlies. And you and I, as people of God, you and I, as born again believers, you and I, as Christians, if you will, we have a responsibility to understand the battle and know our place in the battle. And today I want to help you know your place in the battle so you understand how to fight. Glory to God. Give the Lord a hand, praise. Oh yeah, I want you to know how to fight. I think too often believers are not aware, and they fall prey to all of the things that are going on around them. And before you know it, they're not even believing that God will move on their behalf because of what they see around them. But how many of you know that we walk by faith and not by sight? Hallelujah. The just shall live by faith. So I want to empower you today. I want to equip you today. See, we believers have been enlisted in a fight. You were placed in battle. When God saved you, he not only saved you and he forgave you of your sins, and he separated you from your sins as far as east is from west. Not only did he separate you from your sins, but he gave you life. The Bible tells us that we have been born again by the Spirit of God. And when he gave you life, he translated you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And guess what? You changed sides. Let me say that again. We were once on one side, and we changed sides when we say, yes, I do. Oh, Lord, thank you for saving me. We were no longer on the side that we currently fight against. Now we're on the side of God, if you will. And we are citizens of a heavenly kingdom. This world ain't my home, the old song says, right? This world is not my home. We are bought with a price. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And you and I, we don't even belong to ourselves. We belong to God. Hallelujah. And as such, we are involved in the cosmic battle that's existed before we did between the enemy of God, who is Satan, and God himself. But let me just say this. Satan is no match for God. Let me just say this. But there's a cosmic battle that's going on. And what Satan attempts to do is he attempts to come against you and me. And we're going to look at that just a little later. So here, when we got saved, God enlisted us. It was like, I need you. Remember the old, now I know I'm dating myself, but there used to be these posters like with Uncle Sam, all in the red, white, and blue, and we need you. He would be pointing at you in the poster, right? We need you. And when we were saved, God enlisted us. It wasn't like we had a choice. It was more so we're citizens of a heavenly kingdom. And as such, we have an adversary. And Paul tells Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. That's what he says in our main text. He says, fight the good fight of faith. In another passage, he says, fight the good warfare. See, you and I are soldiers. We have been enlisted in God's army, and he wants us to fight. He doesn't want us to yield to the enemy. He doesn't want us to yield to our circumstances. He doesn't want us to yield to the culture. He wants us to fight, and he's equipped us to do so. Oh, I hope you're getting that in your spirit this morning. So I want to share the fact that we are engaged in a spiritual fight against three things. And we're going to look at these three things that we are engaged to fight against. So we are fighting against three things. Number one, we fight against the flesh. Let me say that again. We fight against the flesh. The flesh is your sinful nature. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the thing that you wish. Here, you and I, as believers, we fight against the flesh because the flesh is fighting against the spirit. The spirit is fighting against the flesh. Now, I mentioned that we were born again by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We who were dead have been made alive by the Spirit of God. The King James says we are quickened. We are made alive. And when we are made alive, our spirit man is living within us. That's the same part of us, if you will, that will go to be with God in heaven. In fact, this earthen vessel, this flesh, will be converted. It will be transformed. Remember, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. So our flesh will be changed, but the spirit that was made alive already dwells in us. Hallelujah. Yes, the Holy Spirit quickened us, and this is how we commune with God. As I was even singing the worship songs today, there's just tears that came to my eyes because I was saying, God, you're so good. Even in the midst of this, even in the midst of shelter in place, even in the midst of things that are going on around us that seem to be chaotic, you are still sovereign. And I was thinking that thought as I was in worship this morning, and tears came to my eye. And God just reminded me of his love and of his care, of his mercy, of his grace, of his sovereignty. And see, you can't learn that. That's a spiritual connection. You are spiritually connected with God, and you're connected with God because he's made you alive on the inside, if you will. He's quickened your spirit. And so therefore, we focus on our spiritual life rather than our life in the body, our life in the flesh. Now, we don't neglect life in the body. We should take care of this body. We should do all of the things that this body is supposed to do. For instance, if you have a home, you have to pay a mortgage or pay the rent. So that means you should work. You should take care of your family. Sure, we do those things because God even encourages us to do so. In fact, he tells men, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Doesn't he say that? So here we take care of the body, but our focus when it comes to warfare is in the spirit realm. Oh, I hope you get that, and you're going to see it here. So we fight against the flesh. Even this fight against the flesh is a spirit fight. In fact, the flesh is our sinful nature. So we're born again, have the Spirit of God living inside of us. Our spirit man has been quickened, but guess what we still lug around? We still lug around this old nature, don't we? The sinful flesh, we do. It'd be great if when we got saved, God would just zap us, right? And we never sin anymore. We never have bad thoughts, or we never like do things that are contrary to his will. That would be great. But see, God didn't plan it that way. But he did plan for us to have victory over the flesh. So the first thing we fight, we fight against the flesh. In fact, there is this inner conflict that occurs between the spiritual man and the fleshly man. Now, I know I'm going to date myself here, but let me see if I can change this setting. I need to see some people here this morning. How many of you remember the Flintstones? Let me see your hands. If you remember the Flintstones, oh, I see some hands out there. I remember the Flintstones. In the Flintstones, they had this space being that would come and visit Fred. His name was Kazoo. And he would sit on Fred's shoulder. How many of you remember that? He would sit on Fred's shoulder from time to time. And then he would sit on Fred's shoulder to kind of guide him, to tell him what to do. Oh, I wouldn't do that. And oh, I would do this. And then I remember like Popeye and some of the other cartoons. where they would have an angel on one side, on one shoulder, and they have a devil on the other shoulder. How many of you remember that back in the day? Oh, yeah, yeah. And the angel would be saying in a kind of, oh, do the right thing. And the devil person, the personality would be like in this mean tone, oh, you don't need to do that. Go on and do what you want to do. That's indicative of the inner fight that believers fight. And I want to be real with that. That is a fight that you and I fight. The thing about it is God has given us what's necessary to have victory in that fight. Oh, glory to God. Now, I know there's some believers out there, oh, Pastor Will, I don't agree with that. There's some folks that won't sing Amazing Grace. They won't sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. They won't sing it because they say, I'm not a wretch. I'm new in Christ. I'm born again. You're speaking doubt and you're speaking fear. Well, I want to let you know that there is still a sinful body that you're lugging around, no matter how saved you are. And God has given you what's necessary to have victory over the flesh. Glory to God. Get a Lord of hand praise. That's good stuff. You have what's necessary. Now, we're going to get into that. But see, you can't fight the flesh with the flesh. And many people try to do that. They say, oh, I'll just initiate some. I have willpower. I'm gonna beat this thing. I'm gonna bite my lip and I'm gonna suck it up and I'm gonna whip this thing. Well, you can't whip the flesh with the flesh. you cannot. You can only subdue the flesh by the Spirit. See, there it is again. It's a spiritual warfare. So you ask the question, well, how do I fight against the flesh, Pastor Will? Well, it's found right here in the same passage that we read. Galatians chapter 5, we read verse 17, and I read verse 17 on purpose because I want you to now move up to verse 16. And look at what Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says. It says this, so I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, there it is there. See, our focus is to be on our spiritual walk. Our focus is to be on the Spirit of God. Our focus is to feed our spiritual man. Our focus is to commune with God in prayer. Our focus is to commune with His Word and be fed by the Word of God, because the Word of God is feeding our spiritual man. Everybody got that out there? See, this is how we begin to walk in the Spirit. And as you and I are feasting on the Word of God, as you and I are praying regularly with our God and looking for Him to answer, we're anticipating His answer. We're not just, as Job would say, we're just not hoping. Oh, I hope that worked out right. No, we're not just hoping. What we're doing is we're praying and we're believing God. Hallelujah. Say that with me. Believing God. Say, I'm a believer. I'm believing God. And as we pray and as we believe God, we are operating in that spiritual realm where things are going on because He said so. And we're going to get to that. I'm going to show you that. But here, we fight against the flesh by walking in the Spirit. And let me just say this about walking in the Spirit. It's not spooky and kooky. Hallelujah. It's not esoteric where, oh, I'm just in another zone. I'm out of my body. No, no, no. Let me just say this. To be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, glory to God. Now you might feel like you're having an out-of-body experience, and that's okay too. Hey, praise God for whatever happens as long as you are being filled and controlled by the Spirit of God. Because if you are being filled and controlled by the Spirit of God, there is nothing wrong that He's going to allow to happen to you because you are filled with His Spirit. Some of you know that comes from Ephesians. Hallelujah. That tells us to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts, right? How many of you know that right after that, there's some interpersonal relationship things that are indicative of you being filled with the Spirit? For instance, submitting to yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, right? Wives submitting to your husband. That's a Spirit-filled activity. Husbands loving your wives. That's a Spirit-filled activity. Glory to God. Children obeying your parents. That's Spirit-filled activity. Amen. fathers not provoking their children unto wrath. That's spirit-filled. Workers working as unto God rather than working as men pleases. Everybody see that? See, this is indicative of you and I walking in the Spirit. Oh, glory to God. I just feel the Holy Spirit in this room here today. Let me just let you know, we don't walk in the Spirit on Sunday only. Hallelujah. It's not a Sunday thing. And then we go on with our lives like normal on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday and Saturday. No, we are being equipped on Sunday. We are communing with God through this corporate worship on Sunday. We are being filled with the Spirit as He speaks to our heart on Sunday. We are fellowshipping with one another on Sunday. But we do all of this so that we can go out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and live as lights in the world and salt in the earth. Oh, glory to God. Yes, yes. That's the walking in the Spirit. It's not just a Sunday only thing. It's a lifetime of walking with God. And you know how that happens? The way we get life, one day at a time. It's a daily walk with God, daily praying with God, daily communing with His Spirit. So first of all, and let me just conclude with this. That means if we're fighting against the flesh, that means I'm fighting against me. Oh, hallelujah. I'm fighting against me. Some of you know that I've shared this before, that there's four aspects of self. There's the known self, which is the self that other people know. And then there's the hidden self, which is the self that only you know. And then there's the blind self. That's the self that those closest to you know, but you don't know yourself. And they have to pull your coattail every now and then because you're doing something that they can see that you're doing, but you don't know that you're doing because it's your blind self. And then there's the unknown self, right? And so here, what we need to do is be aware that there is an unknown self and there is a blind self. What's interesting about the blind self is if we are in the flesh, we don't want to hear it. Did you know that the proverb says that the fool scoffs at correction? They don't want to hear it. And if you and I are not careful, we can be in the flesh. We can be, let me just say it, you can be fleshly minded, even as a believer, and someone is trying to encourage you and you may not want to hear. How can you tell me when such and such and such? Oh, I want to help you. I want to help you. When you sense that attitude coming up, I want to help you to stop that. In Jesus' name, I want to help you to allow the Spirit of God to govern your heart and not you. You don't have to defend yourself. Did you know that? If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles, victory shall be mine. Why? Because the battle in this regard is not mine. It is the Lord's. Hallelujah. So let me just conclude that little point that we fight against ourselves. It's not someone else's responsibility to fight against us in that regard. Now, we thank God for those that will come, as Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, if a brother or sister is overtaken in the fault, he that is spiritual, go and restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest you yourself also be tempted. Thank God that God doesn't want us to go out here, you know, half-cocked. He doesn't want us to go out here unprepared. He doesn't want us to go out here just kind of like wandering in life. He says, those who are spiritual, go and connect with that person and bring them back. Did you know he who wins souls is wise? And so God designed that the body would operate that way. And let me just say this, as I'm talking about the body, you need to connect. You need to be connected. You know, there's a proverb that says a man who isolates himself seeks his own desires. And God said, no, I want you to be connected because there's people that you're going to grow with. There's people that make up the body of Christ. And I'll tell you, remember God said in Isaiah, behold, I'll do a new thing. And right now in this very room, I'm doing a new thing. I'm preaching to you, and some of you are in different states. Some of you are in different cities, and you're definitely not in my house. Amen. So here we are doing a new thing. And I don't know how large this new thing that God is doing, but I want to say this. Let him do it. Let him do that new thing in you. So if you need to connect to us, connect to us. If you need to connect somewhere in your local church, connect in that locality. God says the church is there for you to be connected to, so you can learn, you can grow, you can serve. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can be disciple. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Praise. I see those hands out there. Oh, yeah. Praise God. So we fight against the flesh. Number two, we fight against the world. Say that with me. We fight against the world. Look at what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 15 and 16. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Look at what it says here. It says, love not the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then he goes on to explain what's in the world. He says, for all that is in the world. And he defines lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Everybody see that there in your Bibles? Here, you and I, not only do we fight against ourselves or fight against the flesh in us, that old nature, allowing the new nature to reign supreme, allowing the new nature to overcome, but we fight against the world, and that's the world system. Some of you say, well, Pastor Will, the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You are absolutely right. God so loved the world. However, this world is under a system. The term in the Greek is cosmos for world, and we get the term cosmetics from the Greek word cosmos. It means the array or the order, the system, the structure, and the system, the array, the order, the structure is under satanic rule. Remember, I told you we fight a spiritual fight, right? So the structure of this world, the system of this world, the array of this world is satanic. Therefore, he says to fight against the world. Do not love the satanic system. Do not love the satanic array. Do not love the satanic order, because he says, for all that's in it, the lust of the flesh. Now, we talked a little bit about the flesh, how on that personal level, the fight that we have, that dichotomy, the two facets of the believer, the spirit man and the flesh man. So we talked about that. But think about this here. The lust of the flesh, what that means is the world system caters to the flesh. I was just talking about how we should walk in the spirit, and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, right? Because of the war that goes on there. Well, the world system, it caters to the flesh. It entices the flesh. It titillates the flesh. In fact, it says lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. See, that's all focused on the flesh. And we know that in our last sermon in this series, we discovered that Satan was Lucifer, who in Isaiah chapter 14 said that he would exalt his throne above the stars of God, that he would be like the Most High God. And he say, I will, I will, I will, I will. And that I is the flesh. I love saying this. I'm going to say it again. Some of you heard me say it before. I remember back in the day, Frito-Lay's had this commercial that used to come on, and it was a character, and he would say, I am the Frito Bandito. Some of you remember that. Some of you old heads remember. Those of you who have some gray, you might remember that. And whenever we're saying I, we are more like the enemy or more influenced by the enemy than we are of God. Think about this. Even the commandments that Jesus gave, or excuse me, the commandments that Jesus reiterated, because there was a young man, a rich man, say, hey, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And he says, do the law. Now, at the end of the conversation, Jesus said, go and sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come back. And this man never came back. But listen to what the law is. He says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all of the law and the prophets. All of the commandments are deduced to those two. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Think about that. He didn't say love God and love yourself. And some people make, they put an emphasis on self. Oh, I got to love myself. I got to forgive myself. I got to, no, you don't even have to forgive yourself. Did you know that? Yeah, I know Pastor Will is saying you do not have to forgive yourself. What you have to do is you have to trust in God's forgiveness of you. Oh, praise God. See, God is the only one who can forgive of sin. And when he does, trust in his forgiveness. Because the enemy on your right shoulder will say, remember when you did such and such and such? See, you're not really saved, because if you were saved, you wouldn't be thinking this way again. And if you were really saved, you wouldn't be having this same problem. If you were really, see, that's what the enemy does. Did you know his name is adversary? He's the accuser of the brethren. So you can't trust in your forgiveness of yourself. You trust in God's forgiveness of you. And once he forgives you, he never holds it against you again. Oh, come on, give the Lord a hand, praise. He never holds it against you, see? So in this regard, you don't trust, I got to forgive myself. No, you got to trust in God's forgiveness. Now, let me just say this. If that equates, if you want to say, okay, I believe God forgave me, so I'm going to forgive what I've done in times past, that's totally fine. But place your stock in God, in his forgiveness, not in yours. Why? Because we fight against the self, the flesh, and we fight against the world. See, the current world system is designed to ensnare. It's designed to trap. It's designed to attract. This is why so many things look good to the eye. And some of you men, you know out there, men are visually stimulated. Did you guys know that? I'm just going to bring it to your attention again. We are. When we see that thing that may be appealing, that person that may be appealing, there are some chemicals that fire off in our brains. If you're not careful to know that, you can find yourself in some terrible situations. Let me just say it that way. This is why I just want to equip you. I want to preach the real gospel here, because see, God has even given us victory over that. So let me let you know that the enticement by the eye is great, but God has given us what's necessary by fruit of the Spirit, which is temperance, by the way. Self-control. See, he's given us what's necessary, but if you're not aware of that, if you're not fighting this fight spiritually, you are destined to trip. You are destined to make some missteps along the way. So this is a spiritual fight. We fight against the world. Look at Ephesians. I like what it says here in Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at that together. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at what the scripture says. Verse 1 and 2, and you, capital He, meaning God, and you, God made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see that there? We were once dead in trespasses and sin. And verse 2 said, in which you once walked. See, we once walked according to the course of this world. There it is. According to the prince of the power of the air, who is Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Everybody see that there? See, when before we got saved, we had no choice. We were led by sin, and the sin, the system of the world is where sin thrives. This is where we live. And you and I, thanks be to God for salvation, because at one time we all served sin, and we served sin in the world, until Jesus Christ liberated us. Hallelujah. Now, I'm praying that we're not sheltering in place on July 4th, because some of us know July 4th is Independence Day. That's when we declared our independence, right, from the colonialism that existed over the pond, across the pond. Let me just say it that way. But here, you and I can declare that we are no longer citizens of the world, but we are citizens of the heavenly kingdom, and you want to know that. Now, some of you, you know what that means? Some of you have just been dilly-dallying and stepping in and out of the world. God is saying to you today, you know what? There's some things that you no longer need to visit. There's some things that you no longer need to participate in. Some people are saying, well, you know, I can't wait till the shelter in place is over, and then I can go back to whatever it is. Some churches are saying, we're going back to our church. Let me let you know, you're not going back to anything that ever was. Now, there'll be some remnants of what was. There may be some some things that you do that you used to do, but let me let you know that things are changing. And this is indicative of the change. See, we're living in the last times. Are you saying that Jesus is going to come back tomorrow, Pastor Will? I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I just know that the stage is set. Amen. I just know that many of the things that the Bible says are going to happen, including pestilence, which COVID-19 is, many of those things are taking place. So he can crack the sky any day. The question I have for you is, are you ready? Are you dilly-dallying with the world? Are you still like allowing things to please you where God is saying, I'm trying to get in that area of your life. I'm trying to get in this area of your thinking. I'm trying to get in this area of your emotions. I'm trying to wedge in. But let me let you know, God is a gentleman, if you will. He doesn't force us to obey. I like what the Bible says about the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's a still, small voice. And he wants us to hear that voice. Praise God. So we fight against the world. And once we were in that world, but let me let you know, see, this is the good news. The believer has overcome the world. Let me let you know that again. The believer has overcome the world. Look at this passage in 1 John. Here, look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. Look at what it says here. Whatever is born of God does what? Overcomes the world. You see that there in your Bible? That means you and me, if we're born of God, we overcome the world. Look at what it says. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Remember, this whole message is fight the good fight of faith. Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Get a Lord a hand praise. You see that there? We overcome by believing in Jesus. And when we believe in Jesus, we're saved out of the world. Therefore, we overcome the world. Remember what Jesus told his disciples? He said, I have overcome the world. He said that while he was still walking here on earth. I have overcome the world. So you and me, as believers, when we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, and we say yes to his will and yes to his way, guess what? When we are saved, we overcame the snares and the traps and the bondage and the yokes of sin and of Satan and of the world. We overcame those because God saved us out of those. Oh, give the Lord a hand praise. I see some of you are getting this. Oh, yeah. So here, we have a new allegiance to our God. We are no longer debtors to the flesh, as Romans says, but now we serve the Lord. We serve God. We no longer serve sin. And as such, we live by new standards. We don't live by the world standard. We live by new standards. And guess what our currency is? Even though I know we have to use money here on earth, guess what our currency in the heavens is? It's faith. It's faith. You ask God for something by faith. You believe that it's going to happen. And God is saying, that's how I want you to trust me, son. I want you to trust me by faith. Just let me see your faith. Just exercise your faith. Just believe me in faith. See, that's our currency. That's our spiritual currency. This is why he says, fight the good fight of faith. Oh, glory to God. See, the world no longer defines us. It no longer persuades us. The culture no longer persuades us. I just want to set, I just want God to set some of you free in this regard. Some of you have been trying to keep up with the Joneses. Remember that term? I don't know if they even say that nowadays. I guess I'm just really dating myself. You millennials, I don't know if they say Joneses nowadays. They might say keep up with the Kardashians. I don't know. Maybe they do it that way. But here, there's people that are trying to keep up with other people, right? They're trying to get what they have and do what they do and say what they say and live how they live. See, we have a different standard, ladies and gentlemen. We're citizens of a heavenly kingdom. So what I want to encourage you, don't let the world define who you are. Let God define who you are. And see, the thing I like about God, one of the things among many things, is he calls you who you are even before you grow into who he's making you to be. Ask Gideon. He called him a mighty man of God, mighty man of valor while he's threshing wheat in a wine press. That doesn't look mighty, and it's definitely not valiant. But here, you want to believe what God says about you, not what the world says about you. Hallelujah. Amen. Say it again, Pastor Will. I'm going to say it again. You want to believe what God says about you and not what the world. Don't let the world define you. Oh, you know, you can't do this. Oh, you know, we need a degree for that. Oh, you know, we need this. I'm so thankful. I was watching a documentary last night, my wife and I, and we were talking about music. And he was talking about music, and he was talking about some poor people. And there was a class of people that said, well, really, you need to have formal training in order to make substantial music. And the commentator, he was saying, well, no, that's not true, because I remember back in the day hearing about people, and I've even seen this now. This is a well-accomplished musician. If I were to mention his name, you would all know who he is. But he said, I remember when I first heard somebody playing the spoons. He said, when I heard them playing the spoons, it was like music to my ear. I had never heard that. And you cannot be formally or classically trained to play the spoons. Think about that. There are people that play the spoons. Hey, what about the wash tub? Hallelujah. I know I never played it. I remember my grandmother, she had one of those washing machines that had the rollers on it. You guys know what I'm talking about? Had the rollers, and you, the way you dried your clothes was you put them through the roller and it would roll and kind of dry them out. And I remember the washboard she had. She had that riveted metal that she put in a bucket, and she would wash those clothes way, way, way back in the day. And there's people that use washboards and their rhythm is impeccable. Oh, you don't need to have a whole lot. All you need is to have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, because many of those people were playing songs that praised God. They were playing songs that thanked him. Even though their situations were dire, they thanked him through the gift of music that he had given them. Oh, don't let the world define you. Don't let the world say, well, you can't do this because of this, and you can't do it. Oh, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you are in places that if it were for the world, you wouldn't even be doing that. You wouldn't even be where God has made you to be, because if the world defined you, you would not have been able to make it. But oh, I'm so thankful that our God, he's not limited to the world standard. Did you know that your gift will make room for you and bring you before kings and princes, bring you before nobles? See, this is why I want to encourage you, even young folks out there that are still on your upward trajectory, that are still moving forward in life, and you're still planning what you want to do and planning what you're going to become. And even those of you who are kind of like at the cusp of where you want to be, at the cusp of what you believe God wants, I want to encourage you, trust God and let him bring you there. There used to be this song the Staple Singers used to sing. I tell you, I'm really dating myself here. The Staple Singers used to sing this song, I Know a Place. And the background chorus was, I'll take you there. Let God take you where he wants you to go. Trust in him and not in the systems of the world. Hallelujah. So we fight against the flesh. We fight against the world. And number three, we fight against the devil. Number three, we fight against the devil. Now remember, I'm talking spiritual warfare. So this is spiritual. Look at what it says here in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, it says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Remember? Now, we talked about that in our last time that we were together, just before Mother's Day. We talked about fighting that good fight of faith, being sober, being vigilant, right? Well, we do have an enemy, but the interesting thing about the enemy is he's already defeated. Even though he's still walking about like a roaring lion, he's defeated already. And you and I have the power that's necessary to fight him appropriately. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Some of you know this already. Yes, we're going to go there. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at what it says. Ephesians chapter 6. And for those of you who are turning in your Bible, and look at verse 10 through 12. I want to look at this with you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 12. Look at what it says. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Notice that. It's not in willpower. It's not in me. It's not I'm mustering it up. This is a spiritual fight. Therefore, We have to remove us out of the equation. And verse 11 says this, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. Now, we don't use that word wiles, but it's the schemes, the plans, the traps of the devil. And he says, why? Because verse 12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. See, there it is again. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And what's interesting about that word wrestle, it means to vibrate. When something vibrates, I play bass. Some of you know I'm a bass player. And those big bass strings, when you hit them, they vibrate. And they go this way, then they go this way, then they go this way, and they do it real fast. And that is what makes the sound of the string, its vibration, and it goes through the air to the hearer. Well, this wrestle is, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities trying to pull us this way and trying to pull us that way, and we're wrestling. There's this tug of war, if you will, that's going on. And God says, because the wrestle takes place, I'm going to give you my armor so that you don't have to give in to the wrestle. Ah, glory to God. Say, I'm going to give you my armor so that you are prepared when the enemy comes against you. Look at what he says in verse 13. Look at what he says. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. He says it this way. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in an evil day. And having done all the stand, everybody see that? Now we're going to go to armor, but I want you to look at this. See, the wrestle is going to take place. The tug of war is going to take place. And you and I are ill-equipped if we try to enter into that wrestle without the appropriate gear. If we enter into that wrestle without the full armor of God. See, the devil has been defeated. And what's interesting is that defeat was made publicly. When Christ died on the cross, the Bible tells us that the principalities and the powers, they were defeated. He triumphed over them in the cross. So the principalities and powers, we have no need to be afraid of. We're not afraid of the spiritual conflict. We're not afraid of Satan and demons and devils. We're not afraid of those because they are already defeated. However, they're still contending with us, and we must fight the good fight, which is a spiritual fight, with the armor of God on. Oh, let me just say this. You have been given authority, ladies and gentlemen, believer. You have been given authority. That authority came from Jesus Christ. In fact, he told us to use this authority. In fact, he said it this way. What I want you to do is I want you to do things in my name. So when we do things in the name of Jesus or in Jesus' name, we are exercising his authority. Some people get caught up on, oh, we better say this in Jesus' name, because you're thinking that just saying in Jesus' name, amen, is the seal that the prayer will be answered. What Jesus is trying to teach us is he's given us authority, and that authority is not only to conclude a prayer in his name, but it's to walk in his name. It's to fight in his name. It's to live in his name. It's husbands to love your wife in the name of Jesus. It's wives submit to your own husbands in the name of Jesus. It's for single people to keep themselves chaste in the name of Jesus. It's for those that have no ministry to find ministry in the name of Jesus. It's for those who are wandering around, it's to get into a local church where you can grow and be disciple in the name of Jesus. See, he's given us authority. Oh, glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. I'm having church in here all by myself, but I see your faces though. But oh, I want to let you know you have authority that has been given you. So exercise that authority. Exercise that authority. I exercise my authority every time I get in one of my vehicles. I have a driver's license. Did you guys know that? yeah, I do. I have a driver's license. And that means I can get in any vehicle that this driver's license covers and I can drive. Amen? And I exercise my authority every time I get in one of my vehicles. When I get on my motorcycle, I have a motorcycle license, right? Every time I get on my bike, I exercise that authority. And if I get pulled over, I'm asking why. Unless I did something, which I very rarely do. Maybe my blind self has done something. I don't know. But here, if I'm pulled over, I'm asking, officer, what did I do? I need to know why I'm being pulled over, because I have authority to operate this vehicle. And that authority was given to me by the state of California through the DMV who issued me this driver's license. Oh, let me let you know that you have something far greater than a driver's license, ladies and gentlemen. You have been bought with the blood of Jesus, and you have the authority of heaven and earth, glory to God, the authority of God to live your life. And look at what he says here, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Now, we're just dropping down. See, I want you to trust in the armor that he gave you, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. And so he says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take on the shield of faith, which is with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I had to kind of go through that armor, but I want you to take time to revisit that armor. Revisit the fact that you have your waist shod about with truth. In other words, you know that all of God's works are done in truth, so you operate in truth. And just operating in truth is a spiritual dynamic that fights against the enemy. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness, what that means is your righteousness and my righteousness is as filthy rags. In other words, if I try to do something in myself, the enemy will remind me, Will, remember, you are nothing. You are nothing. Look at, remember where you come from. And if I'm not careful, I'll remember. But if I have the breastplate of righteousness on, then I can say, well, you know what? You're right. I used to be a wretch. I used to be all those things that you say. But God sees me through the righteousness of Christ. Oh, glory to God. God sees me through the righteousness of Christ. Remember, it's like sort of like that forgiving yourself thing. No, you trust in God's forgiveness as you trust in God's righteousness, right? So you have your breastplate of righteousness, which protects your heart. It protects all of these organs that the enemy is trying to attack. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, I'm not saved to sit on the pew. I don't have this armor on and I'm sitting around, but I have this armor on because I'm spreading hope in society. I'm making impact in the Bay Area, or I'm making impact where I am by shining as light in the world and salt in the earth. And above all, I take my shield of faith because I know that there's an enemy that's coming against me, but I have my shield. And as he throws those darts, I'm behind my shield, and that shield quenches every fiery dart of the enemy. Oh, well, you know God ain't gonna do that for you, but that's not what God said. That's not, but my Bible tell me in Psalm 37, delight myself in the Lord, and he'll give me the desires of my heart. Oh, trust him, and he will bring it to pass. Oh, now that's what the Bible, nobody cares about you. Oh, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he will never leave me nor forsake me. You see, what you want to do is you want to allow that shield of faith to quench all of those darts, right? And then he says, and take on the helmet of salvation, knowing that you're saved. It doesn't matter. You are saved. And because you're saved, you're a citizen of a heavenly kingdom. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I've already made reference to the word of God being the motivation, for lack of better terms, or the source of our faith. The source of our faith is the word of God, because we're trusting what God says. We're trusting the promises of God. And as such, we're growing in faith. But also, we know that we'll grow in faith by hearing the word of God. For the just shall live by faith. And faith comes by hearing the word of God. So in this regard, the word of God is our sword. So as the enemy is telling you something, some lie that he's concocted, because he's the father of all lies, you hit him with the sword. No, God says, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loves me. Oh, well, nobody cares about you. No, God says he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Oh, you know, you're going to amount to nothing. No, God says that I'm a valiant man, a mighty woman of God. God has invested in me. He's invested his spirit into me. And as such, he is going to bring me. Oh, you know, when you die, you're just going to go to hell. No, that's not what God said. God says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So take that, devil. Glory to God. See, you want to fight with the word. The word. The word. The word is your, it's your offensive weapon. So we fight. And then look at verse 18, the last verse there that we're going to cover today. Verse 18 says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. See there, we have the armor, but we're always praying. Now we fight in prayer. See, remember, this is a spiritual fight. We fight spiritually against the flesh. We fight spiritually against the world. And we fight spiritually against the devil. That's what we do. It's a spiritual fight. It's not fleshly. And we fight that fight in prayer as we exercise and practice the things that God has already told us in this message and other things that we find out in his word. As we spend time with him, as we commune with his people, as we grow and develop as disciples, we are fighting the fight. But let me just say this, the front line is prayer. That's why I love that movie War Room. and I saw my mother's War Room. I have an opportunity to visit her every year. And in fact, some of you know that Dr. Yancey or Mother Yancey, say I want Mother Yancey. She prays with us every Wednesday. And I know I'm calling her out. She didn't know I was going to do this, but she prays with us every Wednesday. And she prays with us from her war room. Her war room. That prayer closet, right? See, I hope that by you hearing this, it helps you to understand the significance of your prayer life. Because God is saying, praying always. See, there's people that have casual prayers. Those are prayers every now and then. Let's pray about this. Oh, something. Oh, yeah, let's pray about that. And then there are those that have what's called committed prayers. And those are, you know, I schedule maybe every morning when I get up, I'll pray, or every evening before I go to bed, I'll pray. And then there's what's called combat prayers. And combat prayers are praying all the time for everything that happens. These are, it's praying throughout the day. It's praying when you wake up at night. It's knowing that maybe if you wake up, it's not because you couldn't sleep. It's because God is saying, hey, I want you to pray. There's something that's going on in the spirit realm, and I want you to get on your knees, and I want you to pray, because as you pray, you are fighting in the heavenly. Oh, glory to God. Pray. Push. Pray until something happens. Some of you have heard me say that before. So I want to encourage you today, fight the good fight of faith. Fight that good fight. Don't give in to the culture. Don't give in to the hype. Don't give in to the fear. Don't give in to the depression that people will be experiencing as a result of their physical equilibrium being taken, being off kilter, their financial equilibrium being off kilter. The finances aren't coming in, or the money's not coming in. You guys know what I'm talking about. This pandemic has hit us really, really hard, but I want to let you know that it hasn't hit God. That God is still faithful. He's still sovereign. He's still our provider. He's still our protector. He's still our God. And there's nothing that's going to dethrone him. There's nothing that's going to make him not be God. There's nothing that's going to cause him to come down with something. Glory to God. There's nothing. Oh, just know that about your God. So let me close in prayer and maybe even ask you a couple of questions as I do so. See, some of you have submitted to the bombarding of the enemy. You've been hearing all the news, and and focused on the news. And, you know, if we're not careful, it has a way of whittling us into believing it rather than believing what God says, because you hear it day in and day in and day out. And let me just say this. I want to encourage you, if you are looking at the news pretty regularly, would you counter that by praying pretty regularly also? Would you counter that by being in your word pretty regularly, so that when you hear all of this news that's going on, you're hearing it in the context of your life with God. You're hearing it in the context of what God says about things overall. And did you know God's perspective is a lot larger than ours? Glory to God. So you might find yourself, you know what, Pastor Will, I've been bombarded with so much of this news that I even started operating out of fear. I started being afraid of what's going to happen. And, you know, I started even thinking about other things that people in the world are thinking about. And I forgot that God has my back and my front, my top and my bottom, my going out and my coming in. My God has me all the way. And Lord, and Pastor, I forgot about that. Thank you for reminding me that. Thank you for the Holy Spirit using you to speak this message. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that you would rededicate your life to the Lord. Rededicate your thoughts to the Lord. Rededicate the way you move forward. Just rededicate that to the Lord. Some of you need to rededicate your life. Some of you need to rededicate your prayer life to the Lord. You may have started off and you were just praying for everything. There's this story at the church I went to way back in the day, and some of you on the call would remember this. We used to have what's called shut-ins. And I remember there was a shut-in, and there's a guy by the name of Rodney Ramsey. That man could pray. And so when Rodney Ramsey, our shut-ins usually started about 9 o'clock at night, and they went all into 6 and 7 and 8 o'clock the next morning, and we would just be praying. And so Rodney Ramsey would start praying. We would all try to pray before he did, because when Rodney Ramsey started praying, he started praying and praying. And folks, some people just start going to sleep. He praying hour number one, Rodney's still praying. Hour number two, Rodney's still praying. We going on. I remember I was sitting in the pew when Rodney started praying. Then I got down on my knees about hour three when Rodney was, and then I was laid out on the floor. I think I woke up. It was around 4 or 5 in the morning. Rodney was still praying. Hallelujah. That's a praying man. Hallelujah. See, God wants us. He wants us to take this spiritual warfare serious enough to dedicate time in prayer. And some of you, he's saying, it's time for you to go back to prayer. It's time for you to revisit. Now, forgive me. I said go back. I'm trying not to say that. What I want to say is it's time for you to begin to pray like never before. See, that's better. To pray like never before. To spend that time in prayer. Wake up in your prayer. Get your prayer closet. Some of you might only have a nook. Go into the nook. Some people only have a chair. Go to your prayer chair. Do whatever you do. Some people will pray in their car. Get in that car and pray. Some of you need to find ways of serving again, because you used to serve and you used to love serving God. You used to love making a difference in the lives of people. And God is saying, you know what? Even though this is going on, I'm going to show you new ways you can serve, but I want you to serve. Oh, glory to God. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Oh, you've encouraged us today, Lord. You've strengthened us today, Lord. You have fortified us today, Lord, and you let us know who you are, but also who we are as believers here on earth, that you are our source. You are our God. All we need comes from you, that you determine who we are, that our identity is in you. And I thank you, Lord, that you've clarified that for us today. Lord, we trust you. We trust you for what you're doing in our lives. We trust you for what you have done in this sermon by exciting us, by reigniting some of us, by reviving some of us. Lord, we thank you. This fresh anointing that's just falling during this service. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the freshness of a walk with you, a freshness of guidance with you. And Lord, forgive us, Lord, forgive us for the shortcomings. Forgive us for not praying the way we are. Forgive us for leaning in to what the world is saying rather than what you're saying. Forgive us, Lord, for falling short. But now, Lord, since we see it, since we know it, since you've revealed it to us, we come to you. Take us, Lord. Take us, Lord. And for all of you who say you're rededicating your life to the Lord, let me just see you hit your hand button on your device. Let me see those hands. I see some hands. You say, yep, there it is. Rededicate. I see that hand there. You say, oh, maybe you may be rededicating to prayer. Let me see those hands out there. You say, yeah, I'm going to pray more, Pastor. Well, yeah, I see those. I see those electronic hands, and I see those waving hands as well. Yeah. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with Father. I thank you for those that are raising their hands and waving their hands and even using the electronic hand system. Thank you, Lord, that you are their God. Oh, thank you, Lord, that see now they're saying they're humbling themselves to the mighty hand of God. And they're asking, Lord, and I'm believing with them that not only would you forgive them, but now give them everything they desire. Some desire an enriched prayer life. I thank you for that right now, Lord. Some desire an enriched worship life. Thank you for that, Lord. Some desire connectivity and connection with other believers that are doing the same. We thank you for granting their heart's desire. Lord, use them as lights in the world, salt in the earth, as your vessels of honor, as your instruments of peace. Oh, Lord, be glorified in those that are in worship of you today. We thank you. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Making impact with Jesus. Making impact as we sing and His praise.